This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And a lot in the news. I want to start, though, with the latest. This is just totally bizarre. This is from Portland, right, Nate?
Yeah,
okay. Let me just set this up. Back in, I believe it was 1973, but it was in that era, in any case, whether it began then or ended then. Chile, the country of Chile, down in South America, the government was flipped by virtue of a military coup. General Augusto Pinochet was a member of one of the top guys in the military. They overthrew the democratically elected president, and Pinochet made himself president and immediately reached out to Milton Friedman of the Chicago School of Economics and his merry band of libertarian economic pranksters, the same people, by the way, who helped Russia become a modern state after the fall of the Soviet Union. But unfortunately, they did the same thing or something very similar with Pinochet. I don't think Russia went this far. Russia actually has a national healthcare system and still has Social Security. But Pinochet just ripped it all apart with the help of the Chicago Boys. They privatized everything in Chile. And a lot of people came out and protested. I mean, a lot of people came out and protested. Pinochet was eventually overthrown, and Chile's back to being a democratic republic. But during that period of time, the protesters, some 3,000 of them, were taken out in helicopters and pushed out to fall to their deaths. This was one of Pinochet's favorite ways of killing people. They, in one of the major stadiums in Chile, in whatever the major city was, people were lined up and executed like the Nazis did during before World War II, like the Nazis did in the death camps, at least in the work camps, like in Dachau. And so it's particularly bizarre that here in Portland, when the right showed up to strut their stuff and talk about how wonderful white supremacy is and all that, that a number of them were chanting and wearing T-shirts about how Pinochet was actually a good guy, and it's time to make lefties afraid of helicopters again. And they showed up to talk about this and to chant about it. Here's the clip. Right. This is bizarre. We're protesting because we want to destroy and privatize Social Security. We want to privatize and destroy Medicare and Medicaid. Like Pinochet did. I'm speechless. And we got right wing programming in this city in support. It just blows my mind. Anyhow, I wanted to go through a few other things here that in the news today. The price of insulin has been skyrocketing. This is from the KMOV, a television station in Kansas City, and KCTV, also in Kansas City. And this is by the Meredith Digital staff, the Meredith Television group that owns these TV stations. So I'll just quote from it. The price of insulin has skyrocketed. They're quoting Hattie Saltzman, a 22-year-old who was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. This is the childhood diabetes. It's not the result of bad lifestyle choices or whatever that sometimes happens with type 2 diabetes. What she said is in this interview, this is not something that's negotiable. It's not something I'm using for fun. It's not something I can choose whether or not to use. I have to use it. It's imperative to my life. If I don't have it, I die, and I don't have it. And she said what's happening is her copay this last year just jumped to $550 for her insulin. Now, again, this is not a problem that people in Canada have, because in Canada, the drugs are free. It's all covered by Medicare in Canada, by Canadian Medicare. But here in the United States, no, not the case. She said, I know some people have worse insurance coverage than I did. They might be spending $900, and we have to pay or die. She was a low-income person. She was rationing her insulin. And she says, I was skipping doses, just enough to know, just enough to where I knew I would be alive, but not living the very best life. And doing this, her blood sugar level one day hit 650. That's six times the normal level. She said, I couldn't breathe. My heart is racing. I had a headache. I had to go to the ER. It was one of the worst days of my life. But that's not the worst of the story. A member of her church died and left a bunch of insulin. And this member of the church's family donated the insulin from the person who died to her. So she says, so I got five bottles of insulin, which would last me more than through the end of the year. I can't describe how it feels to pick up an insulin vial that has somebody else's name on it when you know that person is no longer around. Another person in her church, Avery Peterson, he's 12 years old. He has childhood diabetes. His copay is $600 a month. And this is producing Facebook pages and GoFundMe pages. They note in the television station Kansas City notes that insulin has been around for almost 100 years. You can't get more generic than insulin. And there's a bunch of people protesting at Eli Lilly. And then the final paragraph in this article from this TV station, Alex Smith from Minnesota had insurance, but the deductible was $7,600. His monthly rate for insulin was $1,300. He tried to ration his insulin and stretch his supply. He was found dead in his apartment 3 days before his next paycheck. His mother is now an activist fighting for reasonably priced insulin. How about fighting for health care for all? And, you know, having a Medicare system like Canada, Medicare for all, and it covers everything, including drugs. This is just terrible. I mean, just breathtakingly terrible. Speaking of health issues, my father, as you may remember, died of mesothelioma, which is a lung cancer or a cancer of the lining of the lungs that's caused by exposure to asbestos. My dad, when my mom got pregnant with me, he dropped out of college. He was on the GI Bill and is starting his third year of college. He dropped out, and it was back in 1950, 51, dropped out of college and got a job at the Alcoa steel mill in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and the steel would come out and go over these rollers, red hot steel, and the delivery, the chute that the steel came out of was all lined with asbestos. And so the air was just a continuous cloud of asbestos fiber. And my dad and others working with him were told, hey, nothing to worry about, it's all good, we've been using asbestos for 100 years. What they failed to tell him was back in the 1930s, the asbestos industry learned for a fact that asbestos causes mesothelioma. So, you know, Alcoa and the asbestos industry basically killed my father. And, you know, we finally figured that out, right? That asbestos does this. I mean, like I said, the asbestos industry figured it out in the 1930s. They hid that from us until apparently the 1970s or 80s. And then, you know, a lot of people getting mesothelioma, particularly from the World War II era, people working on the ships, the military ships that were made, that all their piping was lined with asbestos, were just showing up in droves getting a mesothelioma. And so we got it banned. Well, Donald Trump has said in the past that this whole connection between mesothelioma and asbestos is a scam, a racket put together. This is from Snopes, literally Snopes, right? Debunk myths. They're saying this is true. President Trump has spoken on the topic of asbestos prior to taking office. In his 1997 book, The Art of the Comeback, he argued that the chemical is actually safe and suggested that the link to health problems was manufactured by the mob-connected companies that perform asbestos removals from buildings. This is a quote from Donald Trump. I believe that the movement against asbestos was led by the mob because it was often mob-related companies that would do the asbestos removal. Great pressure was put on politicians, and as usual, the politicians relented. Well, now Donald Trump is president, and guess what? On the 1st of June, and I don't know how this slid by me, but this was 2 months ago, the EPA, Office of Pollution Prevention and Toxics, announced a significant new proposed significant new use rule for asbestos. And so they're going to allow asbestos. I mean, this is, you know, Snopes is fact-checking this claim. The Environmental Protection Agency will allow new asbestos products to enter the market. Rating, yeah, mostly true. It's actually happening. This is just mind-boggling. The tweet of the day, our tweet of the day, goes to Millie Weaver. Millie Weaver is a conservative. She works at Alex Jones's place, InfoWars, or at least says she's, her profile says she's a reporter for InfoWars. And she tweeted this yesterday. Dear libtards who think Facebook is a privately owned business. See, this is all about whether a private business, you know, the Fifth Amendment protects you from, the First Amendment gives you the right of free speech and protects you from the government inhibiting your right of free speech. But it doesn't protect private companies from inhibiting your right of free speech. So Facebook can censor you for any old damn reason they want, Twitter, whatever. But she's asserting that that's not the case. Dear libtards who think Facebook is a privately owned business, there's a thing called fact-checking. Facebook is a public business that's publicly traded. Using that argument to justify banning Alex Jones doesn't work. Right. Now, public means owned by the government. Publicly traded means you can buy and sell their stock, but it's still a private company. This is what happens when you stop teaching civics in elementary school and high school. We really need to get a civics curriculum back in the United States. This is just so sad, and I'm so concerned for Millie. I hope that, you know, she can pick up a book on civics someplace.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be back with more of the news of the day and your calls right after this. And welcome back. Nina in St. Paul, Nebraska. Hey, Nina, what's on your mind today? Thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV.
You're welcome, Tom. I'm calling about ICE, with the help of the Nebraska State Patrol, have raided a hydroponic tomato plant in O'Neill, Nebraska this morning.
Oh, my.
And they are, their next stop is going to be a potato farm, mm-hmm. and they have closed down a Mexican restaurant. I want to let people know that the Multi-Coalition of Grand Island, Nebraska, has set up a safe place at the First Methodist Church in O'Neill.
Okay.
And that's 404 West Cedar Street. And if you're listening and you're having problems, you can call 402-336-1883.
That's great, Nina. Thank you for the information. My understanding is that while we have a long tradition in this country of allowing churches to be places of asylum, even for actual criminals, you know, people who are fleeing the police or whatever, that really that was never at law. I mean, that was sort of the code of the Old West, but that churches don't have the legal right to shelter people from law enforcement. Am I wrong on that, or am I... You know, what do you know?
Well,
about?
We have our sanctuary cities that have set up churches as safe places.
Right.
And you think of the undocumented people that are living in there are safe as long as they don't go outside.
But is that by law, or is that because ICE doesn't want to incur the wrath of Christians across the country by violating the sanctity of a church?
Who knows? I don't
yeah.
know that.
Okay.
I just know that I'm upset that every time... When we had Standing Rock, our governor sent our state patrol up there.
Oh, my.
Our state patrol are supposed to be law enforcement officers. They aren't supposed to be doing things like this, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Remarkable. Nina, thank you for watching Free Speech TV in St. Paul, Nebraska, and thanks for sharing that story with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Great to hear from you. Wow, what a story. Carl in Central Square, New York. Hey, Carl, what's on your mind today?
In my opinion, yeah.
Yeah.
Carl?
Remarkable. Nina, thank you for...
Oh, geez, Carl. You got to listen to your phone, not your TV. Lori in Chubb, Missouri. Hey, Lori, what's on your mind?
Lori in Club, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
Hi. Listen, I want some good... I got some good news.
Okay.
Proposition A, Missouri, a real win for labor.
Oh, this was taking down the Republicans' right to work for less law.
Yes, and we... It was voted down, and it's just great. I'm so excited because I'm a union family, and even my neighbor who is a Republican voted no on this.
Wow!
And I just wanted some good news that even Republicans know that labor rules. We've got to buck up our labor, because just as you said about asbestos, they're the watchdogs. They're the ones that look after our workers.
Yeah.
You know, corporations are so big that we've got to have somebody looking out for us.
Right. A corporation is basically a union of rich people. It's a union for capital. And we need union. And by the way, Lori, I understand that the vote was almost 2-1.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
In Missouri,
awesome.
Of all places. That's extraordinary. Lori, thanks for the good news. That's a great, great way to end the segment. Thank you so much. Thanks for watching Free Speech TV. We'll be right back. It's 21 and a half minutes past the hour. Chicago. Hey, Maine, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing, Tom? Yeah, we as a people have to transpoliticalize ourselves into one powerful political force that will deal with issues. Issues such as free education, free health care, pay student athletes, give every child born an inheritance not to be given till after they've graduated from some school after high school. We have to make our democracy just as real as their capitalism.
Yep.
And stop their capitalism from they want us to pay for our democracy through privatization. And we have to stop that with our democracy by democratizing capitalism. So we have to stand there and fight them just as they are fighting to privatize us. We have to fight to democratize them.
Completely agree. And I'm guessing you know this, Maine, but that idea that every child, when they're born, would be given a small endowment by the government, which would then be invested and through the miracle of compound interest and you know, if it's in the markets, sometimes the markets as well, would turn into a consequential inheritance when they reach 21. That idea was proposed back in the late 1700s by Thomas Paine in his pamphlet Agrarian Justice.
Yeah, and that way, instead of being $50,000 in debt when you come out of school, you got a $50,000 inheritance to go out there and do your thing, you know, as far as what you want to be after the school that you graduated from after high school.
Yep.
This here will concrete, like I say, put bulwark our democracy.
Yep.
So the capitalism, you know, we can see it plainly. Like you say, we need to bring politics in, and that other one you brought,
economics
study.
Yeah. Civics. Yeah. Yeah. Put civics back in our schools. Amen.
Yeah, civics, right.
Yep.
Civics and politics definitely need to be needed because that's what this country is running on.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Maine, amen. Amen. Totally, totally agree. Thank you so much for the call. John in Chicago, listening on Sirius XM. Hey, John, you want to talk about martial law?
Yeah. Well, the topic I really had was how probable is it, given our president's temperament, that he would say the 2018 election is rigged and the Russians helped the Democrats win the House, and that he'll call it an illegitimate election, use martial law powers. I don't know what executive authority would have to question an election or to put in a state of national emergency. Put on the tinfoil hat, but I'm thinking, like, he's kind of crazy, and I could see him coming to that resolution.
I do too. I do, too. I think it's entirely possible. I never would have thought a president of the United States would argue that he was the victim of, you know, rigged elections and things. But Donald Trump, sure. Yeah, that actually makes perfect sense. Whether he would take the next step, though, and saying, therefore, I'm going to, you know, call off elections, or I'm going to declare martial law or whatever. You know, I get that he might just, you know, make a big stink. But canceling elections, declaring martial law. I realize I wrote a piece for Alternate 2 weeks ago saying that it wouldn't surprise me if Trump did this. But it's what a stretch. I don't know, Michael.
Well, but I mean,
excuse me, John.
If you say the executive power, I don't know how broad that is. I mean, it's never been tested. But I mean, if Congress doesn't say no and they kind of agree with him and he's not held accountable, you know, he could. Yeah. I can see him, you know, put on tinfoil. I mean,
yeah. No, I get it. And I mean, let's keep in mind, even Abraham Lincoln didn't suspend elections. He suspended habeas corpus, but not elections. And you can suspend habeas corpus during times of insurrection. John, thank you for the call. I hope you're wrong. We'll see. You know, time will tell. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Fair and only slightly unbalanced, you know, toward the idea of democracy and everybody having health care. Tom Hartman. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Oh, my goodness. I did the asbestos story just a minute ago, and I'm just looking at my Twitter feed here, sort of tongue-in-cheek, or maybe not. Carol Rosinski tweets, Tom, I knew about the asbestos. Guess where they'll use it? Inner-city schools, prisons. That's my take on it anyway. This is just so wrong. But then the, you know, Izzy Chubb had tweeted 2 minutes before Carol, can't get in, but don't forget, I'm assuming meant trying to call in, but don't forget this. This is the Washington Post. Trump-branded asbestos? This is breathtaking. What's the date on this? This is from July 11th. Quote, approved by Donald Trump. Asbestos sold by Russian company is branded with the president's face. A Russian asbestos company that operates a giant mine in the Ural Mountains is marketing its wares with President Trump's image, according to photos it posted on social media, citing former EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt, as well as Trump's outspoken support for the carcinogen. The seal reads, approved by Donald Trump, 45th President of the United States, according to a translation from the Environmental Working Group. That's mind-boggling. I had no idea. That is mind-boggling. Meanwhile, speaking of asbestos, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, U.S. PIRG, has just issued their safe shopping guide for back-to-school supplies, their website, PIRG.org. Here's the list that they've got. They say, our tests and investigation found the following. Asbestos in play school crayons sold at Dollar Tree. Lead in recently recalled children's water bottles, base brand children's reduced hydro pro furry friends water bottle, once sold by Costco. There's those furries. There was apparently a furry in our picture from Portland. One sold by Costco and GSI Outdoors children water bottle, once sold by L.L. Bean. These have been recalled. The Consumer Product Safety Commission recalled both of these items. Phthalates, P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T-E-S, it's pronounced phthalates, in Jot brand blue three-ring binder. High levels of phthalates can cause birth defects, hyperactivity, and reproductive problems. And benzene in Bored Dudes brand markers. Benzene is a known carcinogen linked to leukemia and disruptions in sexual reproduction and live kidney and immune system functions. And speaking of phthalates and things like phthalates, this is just another amazing story about, you know, how we take drugs and they don't get entirely metabolized by our bodies. Some portion of the drugs that we take gets passed through into our urine and into our toilets, and which end up in our rivers, and our water treatment plants don't extract all this stuff successfully. And this is a piece from the Washington Post from the 7th of August. Female starlings are birds, on Prozac are getting rejected and ignored by male birds. Why? Antonio Farzan writing, it's been well documented that a decreased sex drive can be one of the side effects of antidepressants like Prozac. This research was done by Catherine Arnold at the University of York and describes it as, quote, the first evidence that low concentrations of an antidepressant can disrupt the courtship of songbirds. And it's particularly problematic because birds that are slow to mate may not get a chance to breed. And so, you know, what they're finding is that these birds that are drinking the same water that you and I are drinking may be having their entire reproductive cycle disrupted by the very drugs that we're taking and then we're hitting the birds with. It's mind-boggling. Anyhow, back to your calls. Mike in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, hey, listening on AM 950. Hey, Mike, what's up? Mike? No mic. Okay. Mike, call back. You got to listen to your phone, not your radio. Chris in Falls Church, Virginia. Hey, Chris, what's on your mind today? Chris has the same problem. Okay. Let's try John in Morris, Illinois. Hey, John. Thanks for listening to WCPT. What's on your mind today?
What is happening today? It's like, look up the word collusion. Look up the word stage managed. Look up the word stigmatism. And you'll find the Koch brothers in all three of those definitions. See, there's writing that the Koch brothers and Trump are at odds with each other. That's phony. Because they're not in odds with them. The Republicans are not afraid of Trump. They're afraid of losing that money that the Koch brothers are sending them.
It certainly seems to be the case. That's why they're all denying climate change.
Yes, that's true. That's true. When you deny climate change, you're just closing your eyes.
Yep. Yep. Amen.
You know, the Republicans are afraid of losing Koch money.
Yeah.
That is, the flow of Koch money is what backs the Republicans and, of course, Rupert Murdoch and Fox News.
Yep. Totally agree. John, excellent point. You're getting redundant here. You're starting to repeat yourself, but I completely agree with you. Steve in McLean, Virginia. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind today?
Hey, I just want to give you a quick one because you mentioned about the asbestos.
Yeah.
Okay, I found out, I think it was this morning, that actually the EPA is taking public feedback on it, but the last date to give public feedback and public comment on it, I think, is either today or tomorrow.
This is public comment to the EPA about their plan to allow more asbestos into the consumer cycle in America?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So what do? You go to the EPA's website?
Yeah, that's what I did.
And you did, yeah, and you've already commented.
I already commented.
Is that EPA.gov?
I don't remember exactly what it was because I did it through another link.
Right. Okay.
But I think it is the EPA website.
Yeah. Okay.
And well, they also said something about the state EPA too. So I haven't done that.
Right. Okay. Well, it should be fairly easy to Google. Steve, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Grim news. Margaret in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hey, Margaret, what's up?
Hi there, Tom. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Hey, I was listening to your comments about insulin. I am a registered dietitian, but I've worked pretty much exclusively in the area of diabetes education for the last 12 to 15 years. So I'm glad to hear you talk about it being an insurance problem, because if we leave insurance companies and, even more importantly, the giant pharmacy benefit managers in charge of insulin pricing, then that's what you're getting, because you're absolutely correct. In Canada, insulin is required to live in type 1 diabetes, as you mentioned, and they can go in and buy it, you know, purchase it for a minimal cost over the counter.
Right.
In Canada. So the same pharmacy, so boycotting Eli Lilly is really not going to help, but getting out and registering to vote and fixing what's going on with healthcare and pharmacies is the bigger issue.
Yeah.
But I would like to take exception to your comment about insulin being the ultimate generic medication.
Okay.
And while the molecule that we know to be insulin was isolated almost 100 years ago, what we were using until the 1980s was beef and pork insulin.
Mm-hmm.
It was the 1980s where we learned how to manufacture insulin that more closely resembled human insulin. And what we're using now, or preferring to use now, is an analog insulin that's been, you know, reworked to last longer, to cause fewer spikes in blood sugars, less low blood sugar. So while, you know, all of that technology and things does cost money, so it's really not the same insulin that we were using almost 100 years ago.
Interesting.
So I just maybe wanted to clarify that.
I didn't know that. I recall hearing or reading someplace years ago that and this must have been back in the 80s, that a new form of insulin was being produced using genetically modified yeast. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's...
And that older 1980s insulin is still available at a cheaper cost.
Right.
You know, places like Walmart, for example, relabel another pharmaceutical company's version of insulin. It's not the preferred, but it is more affordable.
I see.
But the old-fashioned beef and pork insulin have gone away for a long time.
Fascinating. Margaret, thank you for educating me.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate it. And thanks for listening to SiriusXM. That's fascinating. You learn stuff every day, right? Christine in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Hey, Christine, what's on your mind today?
Hi. I was just talking to the screener about the fact that the civics is actually in our curriculum here in Massachusetts.
Oh, good.
And most of us.
Good, yeah.
Our
screener's name is Shira, by the way.
She's very nice. She's a teacher.
She's great. Yeah. Although sometimes you'll get Louise too. Louise was filling in yesterday and the day before, but it's sure. So you were saying, because I've been saying, we need to go back to teaching civics because you've got this abysmal ignorance where these right wingers tweeting about how, well, Facebook is a public company because they're publicly traded. And wait a minute, public and private is what we use to describe government versus free enterprise, as it were,
Right.
And you're saying that you actually teach civics to fifth graders.
Yeah, I mean, it's built into our Massachusetts curriculum, so we're mandated to, and some of us do more than others.
Yeah, this must
be... I've definitely done more in the last 2 years than usual.
Yeah, this must be state-level stuff, because I get calls from people all the time who say, my kid just graduated from high school and never took a civics class, but they're not calling from Massachusetts.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more than that. If you don't reinforce it at home, they don't really internalize
it
because
there you go.
I see the same thing on Facebook. I mean, former parents saying that the kids don't know where the states are.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had their kid and I know their kid knew where all the states were. So I think it's something that has to be kind of continued. But
yeah, and not just by parents, by our media and our society as well. Right?
And resources for the kids too that, parents can put them on if they want.
There you go. Christine, thank you. Thanks for sharing that information with us. I appreciate it. And thanks for listening to SiriusXM. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's the Tom Hartman Program, Viagra for your brain. Just don't tell Limbaugh, he'll want some. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Les watching us on Free Speech TV. Hey, Les, what's on your mind today? Les? We're having an epidemic. It's like people... Okay, here's how it works. The signal comes from us. Well, first of all, there's a 9-second obscenity delay, so if somebody swears, we can beep it. Then the signal comes from us, and it goes to Denver, where it gets processed and all that kind of stuff, and then it goes up to the satellites. And then it comes to your TV, to your house, and then it comes down to your TV, and all that can take, as much as 30, 40, 50 seconds. In most cases, it's 10 or 20 seconds, but there's a delay there between, what we're talking about and what you're hearing. So, if you call in, listen on your phone, don't turn the volume down on your TV. Don't be listening to the TV because there'll be a delay. Daniel in Socorro, New Mexico. Oh, Daniel, you're listening on Sirius. Sirius is in a commercial break. Let me pick you up right after this, okay? Michael in north of Seattle, Washington. Watch us on YouTube. Hey, Michael, what's on your mind today?
Tom Hartman, I used to call you 20 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. I've only been on the air 15 years.
But anyhow... the story I want to tell you has a bad guy.
Okay.
The bad is the Great Pacific Ocean Garbage Patch.
Oh, yeah.
And if you could
They call it the Gyre, right? G-Y-R-E?
If you could have one of your assistants pop up on your Google screen, just Google Pacific Ocean Temperature Graph.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so what we want to talk about is the temperatures in the ocean caused by ocean acidification.
Well, they're not caused by that. There's a correlation. The ocean acidification is going up because there's more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. It's being absorbed by the ocean. And carbon dioxide, forms carbonic acid, which is a very, very acidic acid. And then at the same time, there's more CO2 in the atmosphere, which is trapping more heat from the sun, which is warming the atmosphere. And about 80% of that heat is being absorbed by the oceans. Back to you.
But ocean acidification warms the ocean, correct?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
No.
Okay, but
there's no mechanism that I know of to make that happen. There are two phenomena that are both associated with excess carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and they're both killing the ocean. And that's maybe that's where your confusion is coming from.
Well, let's talk about the purple spots on the purple on the Pacific Ocean temperature graph.
Okay.
Okay. Kim Jong-un sprayed radiation all over the North Pacific Ocean 1 year ago on September 3rd.
How do you know that?
It's all over the internet.
Well, that doesn't make it true. You know, I have a hard time with this Michael.
Well, this is the hypothesis. Putin is responsible helping Kim Jong-un spray radiation over the North Pacific Ocean on September 3rd, 2017.
Yeah. Michael, I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. I mean, you're getting into the same kind of stuff that these, for lack of a better phrase, conspiracy nuts are doing. And I'm assuming that, you know, you said it's all over the internet, that you've read a bunch of stories about this. If you can find any credible source for this, tweet it to me. And I'll pick it up and I'll talk about it on the air. If you can find a credible source, a scientific source, a real news source that says that happened. But until you can, or somebody else does, I'm skeptical. I'm not believing it. But thank you for the call and thanks for sharing it with us. We'll be right back. It's 10 minutes before the hour. Welcome back. It's the home of the political revolution, the Tom Hartman program, and Ryan in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, Ryan, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. I was a Bill Al-Sayed supporter in Michigan. I don't know if you followed that race.
I did.
Closely or not. But
yeah, not super closely, but I'm very familiar with it, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I think he got about 30%, maybe a little more than that. But, I mean, I'm disappointed he didn't win. But
that's damn good. I mean, he was up against a woman who is a state senator. She's well-known. She's very progressive. And she was supported by all the unions in the state. She was supported by every other elected Democratic politician in the state. And Mr. Al-Sayed was basically supported by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders. I mean, the fact that she got 30% of the vote is mind-boggling. And the fact that we still have a good progressive who's running for governor of Michigan is encouraging, if I may say, Ryan.
No, thank you. I really appreciate you saying that, because I've encountered a lot of people saying, you just need to vote for her no matter what and all that stuff. Like, I really want to vote for Ms. Whitmer and everything. I just don't know where I stand after this point.
But
I just don't know if you can make a case for voting for her.
Ms. Whitmer is solid on virtually every issue. She wants to raise the minimum wage to $15. She wants to do away with the right to work for less laws. I mean, you know, she's progressive and she's proud of her progressive positions. She wasn't willing to say that Michigan should do single payer health care. In Michigan, that may be a position that'll help win elections. And if saying that gets you elected, if the people of Michigan are sufficiently uninformed that they don't really know what single-payer health care is, if the state's not yet ready for that discussion, then, you know, don't introduce it. Wait, you know, start educating people. But if she becomes governor of the state, you know, that education opportunity is going to be substantial. So was that your point?
I definitely agree. And I was just kind of wondering to hear your viewpoint on the race, and I really appreciate you giving it to me.
Sure, you're welcome.
I'd be more than willing to do some education about single payer for her, as long as maybe the two campaigns can work together.
Well, I'm sure she knows all about it. I don't think she's the one who needs to be educated. It's the voters of Michigan. I mean, because they're apparently not ready for it. She's a smart politician, and she would if she's not advocating it, it's not because she doesn't think it's good policy. It's because she doesn't think she'll get elected that way. And I understand that. I think we all need to understand that. And it's great that instead of having, a quote mainstream Democrat versus the Green Party, that we've got this diversity inside the Democratic Party now, because the Green Party's just been devastated by Jill Stein. And it's a shell of what it once was. And it's great to see the Democratic Party stepping up to the base. Ryan, thank you for the call. It's great to hear from you. Victor in Chicago. Hey, Victor, what's on your mind? Thanks for listening to SiriusXM. You want to talk about asbestos?
Yeah, there was a blurb about when Trump first started this 2 months ago. There's an audio tape of him. He's
in one of, his rallies, one of his rants was, and to paraphrase it pretty much, he said, I used to build buildings and I used to use asbestos, best insulation that anybody could ever have, but then with all the EPA stuff now, I don't know what they're talking about. It was the best and it should be used again. And I mean, he's in this long speech about it.
This guy's ignorance is, this guy's ignorance is breathtaking, Victor.
I haven't called in 10 years or a little bit longer, but I used to listen to you and God rest his soul, Ed Schultz.
Yeah.
Two great patriots. And I think you guys were very instrumental in getting Obama elected, so keep up the great work.
Thank you, Victor.
I enjoy XM, and a plug for XM Satellite. It keeps me going down the road safe.
Yeah, I love SiriusXM. Thank you, Victor. Thank you very much. It's great to hear from you. John in Bellevue, Michigan. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Great.
I think the Koch brothers are a little disappointed today. Gas went from a 276 to 307 today.
Oh, well, the Koch brothers would be happy about that. They run refineries. That means their profits went up.
Sure. But everybody else follows them. They're the leaders of the price jacks.
Interesting.
And also, I wanted to say another thing about the asbestos. When I got out of high school in 1967, for a dollar an hour, I was beating the heck out of them old octopus furnaces in the basement that had the big heat runs wrapped in asbestos.
Yeah.
And I've been blessed my life not to get tangled up in that stuff.
Yeah. Amen. We lived in a house that had that one time, too, and it's just not a good thing. John, thanks for the call. In fact, the house was in Michigan. Pardon?
I do two of them a day.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're still around, John, and stay healthy and avoid cigarettes, please. Good talking to you. Daniel in Socorro, New Mexico. Hey, Daniel. Thanks for listening to SiriusXM. What's up? Oh, Daniel, I'm sorry. We just hit the end of the show. Call back tomorrow. My apologies, Daniel. I was not watching the clock, but I look forward to talking to you tomorrow. The show's over now, or will be in 20 seconds. Thanks so much for being with us today. It's been a fascinating day. I'm sure there's another one up for us tomorrow, so please join us, same place, same bat channel. And in the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It takes all of us, and that includes you. And there's a lot of great things that you can do to help advance democracy, a lot of great groups to join, and of course, get inside the Democratic Party. We need to make this party a real voice for the people, like it largely is. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.